תפילת החברים. בורא יקר.
The prayer of the friends. Dear Creator, thank you for bringing us here together. Help us to annul our self-concern. Pray only for others, and
we
need nothing but to be in your service. Let us use a force of love in order to bring the world kli closer to wholeness.
Clearly. Rav.
אז נקרא את המאמר, מהו דרך שתחילתה קוצים וסופה מישור בעבודה.
So we'll read the article, what is a road whose beginning is thorns and its end is a plain in the work. It is written in Midrash Tanchuma, Behold, I place before you.
זה שכתוב,
it is written, from the mouth of the upper one, the bad and the good will not emerge. Moses too set before them two ways. The good and the bad. The path of life and the path of death. A blessing and a curse. There's an allegory about an old man who sat by the roadside before two roads. One whose beginning is thorns and its end is a plain. And one whose beginning is a plain and its end is thorns. He sat at the beginning of the two roads and warned passers-by, telling them, although you see that this one begins with thorns, take it, for its end is a plain. Anyone who was wise listened to him and took it. He exerts some, but he goes in peace and he comes in peace. But those who did not listen to him went and failed in the end. Therefore, choose life, you and your descendants. To understand this in the work, meaning in the work of observing Torah and mitzvot, we should discern two ways. One, lo lishma, not for her sake. Two, lishma, for her sake. It is known that in the work we should discern between the purpose of creation and the correction of creation. The purpose of creation is for man to achieve wholeness, meaning to be rewarded with the delight and pleasure that the Creator wishes to give to the created beings. This is called his desire to do good to his creations. Because of this, all created beings yearn only to receive delight and pleasure. Therefore, each and every day, a person yearns anew to receive delight and pleasure, and does not settle for what he had in the past. Rather, each day a person begins to receive delight and pleasure. This means that each day a person must receive delight and pleasure. Some people receive pleasure now from what gave them delight and pleasure in the past. However, if they can't receive pleasure from the past now, it is not regarded as enjoying the past now. That is, a person must feel pleasure every day. A person can feel pleasure even from what he gained yesterday, or he can feel pleasure today because yesterday he received respect and so forth. It follows that his desire to do good to his creations must mean that a person will feel each day anew that he receives pleasure. However, he can enjoy only from the pleasure he receives in the present, from both the past and from the future. In feeling pleasure, if he enjoys in the present, this is regarded as having pleasure. For this reason, in both corporeality and spirituality, a person must feel that he enjoys life now, regardless of the past or the future. Even with the greatest delight and pleasure, if he does not feel the delight and pleasure in the present, he could die because of the torments he's feeling now because he has nothing to enjoy.
But
this depends on the level of suffering he's feeling now. And in this, meaning in the measure of the suffering, no two people are the same. Yet all people must feel pleasure in the present. But as in corporeality, such as in eating, drinking, and sleeping, some people need to eat a lot, drink a lot, and sleep a lot. Likewise, in feeling pleasure, there are differences between people in the amount of need to feel pleasure. Some people need to feel a lot of it, and some can do with little. But they are equal in that they all need to feel pleasure in the present. If they cannot provide for themselves pleasure in the present from what they had in the past and cannot depict for themselves some future pleasure that will shine in the present, they cannot exist in the world. This extends from the fact that the Creator's will in the purpose of creation was His will to do good to His creations. For this reason, each day we are given 100 blessings to bless. As our sages said, one must bless 100 blessings every day. Also, each day one must say 4 Shema readings. Shema of offerings, Shema of Maker of Light, Evening Shema, and Shema by the bedside, as well as to pray 3 times a day. This shows that in spirituality we must draw a unique light each time, which pertains to the work that one is doing. The reason is that the creatures are incapable of receiving the delight and pleasure that the Creator contemplated giving to the creatures all at once, due to the correction that took place, which is called Tzimtzum, restriction. For the creatures to receive the delight and pleasure in vessels of bestowal and not in vessels of reception in order to receive, according to the work of the creatures, the abundance extends down to them. It therefore follows that when a person begins the work, since by nature he does not understand that it is worthwhile to do any movement unless it is for his own sake, Maimonides says that we must begin with observing Torah and mitzvot in order to receive rewards, since a person cannot understand otherwise. But afterward, a person is shown that he must do all this, all his deeds, in order to bestow. And since the body cannot agree to this path, the person begins to ask, why can't I work like the rest of the world, whose labor is all about the acts, and who have no work on the aim to bestow? And But when I am told that I must walk on the path of bestow, my work is twofold. That is, I have work observing Torah and mitzvot in practice, as well as work on the aim to bestow. It follows that I have twice the work as the rest of the world. So his body yells, "What do you want from my life?" This means that the body asks, "Why do I deserve such punishment more than other people, in that I have extra work that the general public does not do?" For this reason, says the body, "I will not let you work even in action. Even though you cannot aim to bestow, I have no interest in them whatsoever." Therefore, I will object to your actions because you do not want to work for yourself.
נמצא לפי זה שאם האדם רוצה ללכת בדרך האמת,
it follows that if a person wants to walk on the path of truth, he should make three discernments in his work. One, work to observe Torah and mitzvot in practice. Two, work on the intention. That is, he does not want any reward for observing Torah and mitzvot, but works not in order to receive reward. Three, when a person wants to work, meaning observe Torah and mitzvot without any reward, his work is twofold. On the action, meaning that he has great resistance to observing Torah and mitzvot, even on the act itself, since the body objects to observing Torah and mitzvot without any reward. It follows that although he still cannot aim to bestow doing the work, since the body objects to these intentions, there is also resistance to the act itself, even without the aim. Since the body asks, "What are you doing?" You say that you do not want any payment for your work in observing Torah and mitzvot. It follows that he not only has to work on the aim, which does not happen in the work of the general public, but he has twofold work in the act as well, as it is more difficult to observe Torah and mitzvot in practice. Conversely, the bodies of those who work in the manner of the general public do not resist the work in practice all that much, since there the body cannot ask, "What is this work for you?" Because it gets immediate answers when he says to it that he believes in reward and punishment. So he's not working for nothing, but he will be rewarded for his labor.
עבור היגיעה שלו. מה שאין כן, באלו אנשים שרוצים לעבוד בדרך האמת,
but with those who want to work on the path of truth, meaning in order to bestow, although reward and punishment apply to them as well, meaning that they too believe in reward and punishment, like people who work like the general public, yet their reward and punishment are not similar to one another. The reward and punishment of the general public is in self-benefit. That is, they believe that if they observe Torah and mitzvot, they will receive reward for their own sake. And if they do not, they will be punished and will also lose the reward for their work. But those who work in the way of the individuals, their reward is that the Creator gives them the privilege of working only for the sake of the Creator and not for their own sake. All their pleasure is in being able to bring contentment to the Creator. And the punishment is if they stay under the governance of the will to receive for oneself. This is their whole punishment. They believe in what our sages said, that the Creator said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. That is, they learn in order to receive a reward, which is that they will emerge from the control of the evil inclination, which is the will to receive only for themselves, and will be able to work solely for the sake of the Creator. Certainly on such a aim, the body, which is the desire to receive for one's own sake, must resist giving one the powers to be able to uproot it from the world. This, as our sages said with regard to King David about the verse, and my heart is slain within me. Our sages said that David killed the evil inclination by fasting. Naturally, even to the act when a person still cannot aim in order to bestow, the body immediately resists and does not let him make a single move. Since the body knows he wants to use those actions in order to kill it. As said about King David. It follows that even when actions are without the aim, the body already shows great resistance. And the only way is that in everything he wants to do, he must have the Creator's help. That is, for every little thing a person wants to do on the path of individuals, he must ask the Creator to help him do them. Yet, we must know that the fact that a person must ask the Creator for every single thing he wants to do, because it is difficult for him, this is a great correction by which one gains the need to always pray for the Creator.
היינו, שיש לו לאדם על מה להתפלל.
In other words, a person has what to pray for. Otherwise, it might happen that a person will not need the Creator's help.
לכן האדם מרוויח בזה שיש לו תמיד.
Therefore, a person gains in that he is always connected to the Creator, in that he needs him. Otherwise, a person might do the best deeds, but the deeds will not obligate him to remember the Creator while performing the act. Although he goes to do good deeds, and this can be because he has been brought up this way, and it can also be without remembering who commanded him to do so, but simply out of habit.
מה שאין כן, כשקשה לו לעשות את המעשים, אז הוא מוכרח.
Conversely, when it is hard for him to do those deeds, he must ask the Creator to help him. It follows that during the act, he remembers the Creator because he's asking him for help to do the act.
וזהו רווח גדול.
This is a great benefit that a person should pay attention to. The fact that he has something that reminds him that there is a Creator in the world and we must serve him.
ובאמור נבין מה ששאלנו. And
according to the above, we can understand what we asked, what is a road whose beginning is thorned and whose end is a plane in the work? The thing is that there are two ways in the work of the Creator. One, for one's own benefit. Two, for the Creator's benefit. The way of self-benefit is called whose beginning is a plane. Since the body does not resist to it so. Because the body believes in reward and punishment, it agrees to work, although it exerts itself in this work. But when it looks at the reward, this work is regarded as whose beginning is a plane, meaning that the body understands that this way is acceptable because it is for one's own sake.
But
its end is thorns. That is, in the end, he sees that he cannot feel his providence as the good who does good. As it is written, as long as the receivers have not been completed, so they can receive his complete benevolence, which he had contemplated in our favor, in the thought of creation, the guidance must be in the form of good and bad, reward and punishment. It is so because our vessels of reception are still tainted with self-reception. When we use the vessels of reception contrary to how they were created, we necessarily sense evil in the operations of providence in relation to us. Thus, its end is thorns. Thorns means that this way inflicts pain, meaning that after all the work that one has exerted in Torah and Mitzvot, he still does not feel his providence as the good who does good. And this causes him the matter of reward and punishment in his work. That is, the fact that his guidance is in the form of good and evil, from this extends reward and punishment. As it is written there in the Sulam, hence when one feels bad, denial of the Creator's guidance lies upon him and the superior operator is concealed from him to that same extent. This is the greatest punishment in the world. Thus, the sensation of good and evil in relation to his guidance brings with it the sensation of reward and punishment. For one who exerts not to part from faith in the Creator is rewarded even when he tastes a bad taste in providence. And if he does not exert, he will be punished because he is separated from faith in the Creator. According to the above, we can understand what we asked, what is a way whose beginning is plain and whose end is thorns in the work? It means that the way that the general public works in order to receive reward, its beginning is a plain. That is, the body does not resist this way because it is told you must believe in reward and punishment for your own benefit. That is, if it observes Torah and Mitzvot, the self-benefit will gain. And if it does not observe, the self-benefit will lose. A person can understand this because this is man's inherent vessel called will to receive for oneself. But its end is thorns. That is, in the end, he does not achieve wholeness. The reward of seeing that his providence is in the form of good and doing good. Instead, he is placed under the governance of good and evil. It follows that although he alone does and will do all the deeds, this is nonetheless hidden from those who feel good and evil. Since at the time of bad, the sitra achra, the other side, is given the power to conceal his guidance and the faith in him, as written in the Sulam. Thus they will die without wisdom. And this is called, its end is thorns. Conversely, the way whose beginning is thorns and its end is a plain means that those who want to walk on the path of truth and achieve the degree of bestowing contentment to the Maker, its beginning is thorns. Since when a person wants to work only for the sake of the Creator and not for himself, the body objects to every single thing he does, and each time he must overcome anew. And every time he overcomes and the body resists it, it stings him and afflicts him like thorns. It follows that the way he is walking is as though walking on thorns, and each time he wants to escape from the campaign. But anyone who is wise listens to him. That is, one who has faith in the sages listens to him. And he takes it, he exerts some, but he goes in peace and comes in peace. As it is written, for her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Since afterward, when he is rewarded with vessels of bestowal, he walks in a way that is on a plane. This is as it is written, when the Lord favors man's ways, even his enemies will make peace with him. Since then he is rewarded with the delight and pleasure found in the thought of creation, which is to do good to his creations. And when they are rewarded with vessels of bestowal, it is written there in the Sulam, at that time his private providence will be revealed throughout the world. Since now, once the evil and the punishments have become benefits and merits, it will be possible to attain their doer, for they have now become fitting for the work of his hands. Now they will praise and bless him, as it is written, therefore choose life, you and your descendants. He writes about the way of thorns, that starts with thorns and ends in a plain, or the other way around. Question is, if the way of thorns, the beginning is in thorns, is that the sign, the indication of an action of bestowal?
This is what it looks like.
He writes further that even on the way of thorns, there's great value there because then you need the help of the Creator. There's this gift that you need the help of the Creator.
Yes.
Question is, the more we get incorporated in society, we feel the way of thorns less. If I wish to perform an act of bestowal, it's easier to perform it in the society. I feel less resistance.
That's right.
So the question is, in that state, is it also called the way of thorns? How to relate to such a state?
Yes. If you have entered this path, this way, and you check yourself, and it always feels to you as bad, and nevertheless you tie yourself to the society, and through it you try to correct yourself and to become incorporated in the society, then it becomes a plane.
Дорогой Раф, а как нам в начале вот на этой развилке каждый раз выбирать правильный путь?
Dear Raf, how in this intersection, at the very beginning, this juncture, can we choose the correct path?
Choose the right way. We can do that only on the one hand through connection with the friends, on the other hand, as much as together with them, we yearn to give contentment to the Creator. This is how we close these two ends.
А он обязательно сначала должен быть тернистый, а потом гладкий.
So the road has to be to start with thorns and then end in the plain?
Well, as much as a person yearns to advance on the path, according to his efforts, it appears to him as either thorns or on a plain.
Ну, okay. А ведь ты же не можешь выбрать специально идти тернистым путем. Вот тут немножко этот путает пример, потому что
intentionally choose the path of thorns. This example is confusing. Because nevertheless, a person wants to take the plane, not choose the path of thorns. And here in the article, it's as if you have to choose the thorns first.
We need to choose the way that is unrelated to this one or to that one. The most important it is that it will be directed straight to the Creator to in order to bestow. And then according to that, we should try to advance.
Можно уточнить еще?
Но
мы всегда учим, что все, кто приходит в Каббалу, он начинает учиться лолишма, то есть ради себя.
Anyone who comes to the wisdom of Kabbalah starts lolishma, meaning for his own sake, his own benefit. And from here, Rabash writes, this is the path of plain. And we haven't started the path that Rabash is writing about yet.
We didn't yet choose.
And my feeling is 100 times a day I fall off my kavana and I don't know how to hold on to kavana during the day.
This is why we're told that the most important during this time is to be incorporated in the Ten and to truly exist inside of it. And all of my intention, all of my effort is only to be inside of them. But you know, you may ask, but what about the Ten? It is also with the same qualities as me. No, the Ten is already managed by the upper force.
Toda Rabba, das bedeutet uns sehr viel Ihre Antwort, und jeder war sehr gespannt und ist zum Morgenunterricht gekommen.
Toda Rabba, and it means very much to us because all of our friends were very excited to hear your answer. Thank you very much.
Toda. Turkivan.
Thank you, Rab. My friend is asking, how can we yearn for future pleasure?
All of us together can depict to ourselves the pleasures and also the suffering and direct ourselves this way pretty much in the right direction. But this is because we connect our inclinations together, our desires, our thoughts, our calculations, and then we are able to choose the good. We need to show everyone the ability to advance on the path,
which is seemingly
these two discernments, but we need to realize that without these two discernments, we cannot advance towards the truth, because we won't have what to choose. We won't have what to follow.
Okay, the question was basically, there's no coercion in spirituality, obviously. So we're just there to show the way and not really give them much more information than that and let them choose themselves. Is this the real path?
Yes. And certainly each way has both this and that, both pleasure and also suffering.
So there are, thank you.
Okay, good. Italy won.
Buongiorno, Rav.
Good morning, Rav. Good morning, friends. The question is, if in our path we don't find the torrent, do we need to fear to be in the wrong direction?
Ken, Bidiuk.
Yes, exactly. We should realize that if this is the true way, that it has both this and that. To choose the right way, we need to try to do so from the beginning, when we have two possibilities. Now, should it be the way on the plane, or should it be the way of thorns? That's not enough, because we don't yet have here true and false. If the way of thorns only begins with the thorns, and later on it will become a plane, or maybe the opposite, meaning this is not enough. But when we choose together with the society, and we choose the way where our general decision is to go together. And when we do go together, when we walk together, it is called a plane.
Selam sevgili Rav. Bizlere tüm eylemlerimizi ihsan etmek için yapmamız gerektiği Yaradan tarafından nasıl gösterilir?
Hello, Rav. In what way will the Creator show us the necessity to perform every action only in order to bestow?
The Creator will show us the need to walk together as one man and one heart, and by that it's certain we'll enter the correct path. That's how we need to continue. We don't have a choice in anything. That is important. The Creator doesn't have any issue with us choosing one way or another. Nothing is closed or concealed before Him. So He is taking into consideration all the discernments, all the observations, all of our decisions, and He gives us the correct path, both in what we feel and in what we choose. This is all.
Selam Rav, selam Kli Olani. Dostumun sorusu, güçler, eylemler, düşünceler. Dostunu kendin gibi sev ve ihsan etme duasına yönelik
Rav, forces, actions, thoughts, are all of these forces operating along the line of love your friend and yourself and according to the nature of bestow?
Certainly, if we advance together and toward the Creator, this is our primary law that we wish to connect between us and connect to the Creator.
То, что я записала сейчас, десятка управляется от высшей силы. То есть сразу понятно, что десятка.
I wrote down now that the ten is managed by the upper force. So it turns out that if I connect to the ten, my ego will only grow all the time. But you know, so if I connect to the ten, it pays off because I connect to the upper one. So then, how will I come out of my ego?
Только тем, что мы принижаем себя относительно десятки,
only
мы выходим
by lowering ourselves relative to the ten. Do we leave our own?
Yes.
About the connection of the upper and lower. If the upper one decides what it will give to the lower one, so what, why do you need prayer in reality if in the end the upper one gives whatever it wants?
An
upper one can awaken only from a prayer, from a deficiency, from raising man, from the lower one. If the lower one doesn't raise any deficiency, the upper one doesn't demand.
Yes.
But in the example that the upper one won't give the lower one a stake. So it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. The prayer of the lower one doesn't change anything because eventually the upper one will give him what he believes is right for him. So what's the purpose of prayer here? Because even the deficiency doesn't get an answer for that deficiency.
I don't understand.
I heard you say earlier that you wouldn't give a steak to a child, but even though he asked for it, you'll give him milk or something.
Yes.
So eventually the upper one decides what to give to the lower one. So why does the plea of the lower one even matter? Because in the end, the upper one gives the lower one what he sees as right. It has nothing to do with the lower one.
It doesn't work this way. The upper one awakens the lower one. The lower one asks from the upper one what it needs. And then the upper one gladly gives to the lower one. Without deficiency, you cannot fill, satisfy the lower one. You have to stimulate it. To arouse it, you have to awaken in it desires, deficiencies, and then you will give it.
So the upper one gives the lower one what he asks for or what he needs?
What the lower one asks. The lower one asks, in the end, what the upper one sees is good for it. There is congruence, there is a match between them.
So to begin with, the fact that there's a demand in the lower one, the upper one awakened it in him.
Everything begins with the upper one.
And does the lower one have any control on what the upper one will awaken in him?
Of course.
How?
The lower one has lights, the upper one has lights, and then through the lights it awakens the lower one in any direction it needs to.
What does the lower one have if the upper one has lights?
Only a general desire. And then through small illuminations it awakens the lower one to want what it needs.
But the upper one can't exist without the lower one. It also can't exist without the lower one.
Correct.
So
what I'm trying to ask is, how can the lower one constantly bring a desire, a deficiency to the upper one?
He cannot give a deficiency to the upper one. Everything begins from the upper one.
What does the lower one do then? He just waits?
It responds, reacts. just reacts, that's it.
And this reaction depends on him, or also that is done on him?
It's relatively dependent. How relative? To the extent that one annuls oneself in the society, to the extent that as much as he can, he opens himself. According to this, he receives the deficiencies from the upper one and raises them.
So what does it mean that the lower one reacts or responds
to what the upper one wants to awaken in it? To this, it responds.
But how can it recognize in what he wants to awaken me? How can the lower one recognize what the upper one wants from him?
He comes as close as he can to the upper one and begins to catch illuminations from the upper one. This and this and this, a little more to bestow, a little more to connect. And in this way, the force of reception begins to grow in him.
So it turns out that if the upper one doesn't awaken the lower one, so there's no motion in the system. It's like there's a clog.
There isn't. Everything begins from above. But for us, who begin from the very ground, we have a group and we have a way to begin to perform actions as if they have no connection to the treatment of the upper one.
These actions that we're doing on the ground with the group, do they affect the upper one that will awaken us, or is it different systems?
There are things we understand and things we don't understand. They're locked, they're closed to us. But what the upper one awakens in us is certain, is that it works according to the process that has already been kind of implanted in the upper one through even higher degrees.
Clear, but in the work of the group, when the group works, does it affect the upper one, or
it influences the upper one?
Is that the only way to affect the upper one?
How else can you influence it? With what else? To the extent that they connect and want to help each other, they push each other to approach the upper one. And as they connect their awakenings, the upper one begins to respond.
Thank you.
Please.
What can I say? We have a special day every year called the Day of Love, 15th of the month of Av. But we really see how many stages we have to go through before that in order to reach this day, at least on behalf of our learning. So let's hope we understand the essence of this day, the essence of spiritual love, how we reach it, how we keep it. And as much as we can make more efforts to come closer to it. So, the Day of Love.
So, we are in the topic, the four measures of love, four qualities of love. 16. When we observe the attributes of love between man and man, we find four measures of love, one atop the other, meaning two that are four. The first is conditional love. It means that because of the great goodness, pleasure, and benefit that one receives from one's friend, his soul clings to him with wondrous love. there are two measures in this. The first measure is that before they met and began to love one another, they did harm to one another. However, now they do not want to remember it, for love will cover all crimes. The second measure is that they have always done good and helped one another, and there is no trace of harm or detriment between them. The second is unconditional love. It means that one knows the virtue of one's friend to be sublime beyond any imaginable measure. Because of this, his soul clings to him with immeasurable love. Here too, there are two measures. The first measure is before one knows every conduct and deed of one's friend with others. At that time, this love is considered less than absolute love. This is because one's friend has dealings with others, and on the surface, he seems to be harming others out of negligence. In this manner, if the lover saw them, the merit of his friend would be entirely blemished, and the love between them would be corrupted. Yet, since he has not seen these dealings, his love is still whole, great, and truly wonderful. Second attribute of unconditional love is the fourth attribute of love in general, which also comes from knowing the merit of his friend. Yet, in addition, now he knows all his dealings and conducts with every person, none missing. He has checked and found that not only is there no trace of a flaw in them, but his goodness is greater than anything imaginable. Now it is eternal and complete love. Note that these four attributes of love between man and man also apply between man and the Creator.
Why is it saying that unconditional love depends on my recognizing the relation of a person that I'm checking with others, because it's unconditional?
So how can you determine?
I don't understand.
How can you determine which measure of love is in man?
If I want to know how much I love a person, should I check his relationship with other people, with the rest of the people?
Yeah, correct.
But why then is it unconditional? It's as if I am calculating or checking.
You check, you calculate, okay, so how without doing a calculation?
Well, like a mother and a baby, she doesn't calculate, she loves. Naturally, it's like that.
And what does that give us, that's what we see on the mother? The complete, unconditional love.
The question is, what's the benefit in the
before and after calculation?
And why does he call it unconditional?
That, I guess, is like the mother.
He writes that he knows his dealings and conduct with every person, none missing, and he checked and found that not only is there no flaw in them, but his goodness is endless. So my love for that person depends on all of that person's relationship with the rest of the people. And to all of that, he calls it unconditional. It's unclear. It's the opposite. It is conditional. I have to see that he does good to the whole world. And he also talks about the Creator. And in the end, he says that it's unconditional.
Yeah.
So how can you...
Because there's nothing else to check. It's clear that his attitude towards everyone is complete love.
And if it weren't like that, I wouldn't love him?
Of course.
So why is it considered unconditional?
Because there's no condition to put it on. What he shows everyone is complete love. It and whoever doesn't need it, he doesn't open it for him.
Okay, let's assume he opened it, and I see in these actions, so I have to see it with in my senses. So I need to see it within reason, or what?
If the Creator opens things up for you, so you see the Creator's attitude towards man or the relationships between people.
But do I have to see with my senses that the Creator is good to everyone?
But your senses are in the hands of the Creator, so what's the question?
Isn't there an element of work above reason here? To see one thing and rise above it?
The moment the Creator starts taking care of you, it's all above reason. It's in the reason of the Creator. Okay.
Tov. USA Northwest.
Rav, is faith above reason the same as unconditional love, or does it supersede above unconditional love?
Unconditional love is greater. That's, we reach it through faith.
It's,
the highest degree is love.
Good morning, Rav. Good morning, friends. I want to relate to the first measure he writes here. It says, before they knew and began to love one another, they did harm to each other. But they do not want to remember it because love will cover all crimes. Can you explain what's happening here?
They want to erase the past and build a present and future according to a new type of calculation.
So is this real love? If in the 10 we do the work he writes here, that's what we have to do? Meaning if I want to connect to the friend in the 10, I need to kind of all kinds of problems to be caused so I can cover them with love. What does he mean?
You must, if you want to have a new calculation towards a friend, you have to forget everything that was there in the past and start working anew.
So the love he's talking about is real love here.
Yeah, because obviously in the past we were all complete wicked, and in the future we have to be complete.
Thank you, Rav. First of all, the words are beautiful, turning this day into a day of love. In the 10, we make a lot of efforts to come to love one another. So my question is, how to fall in love with the friends in the 10?
Try and feel how we're in one desire, in one vessel, in one thought, in one body, in one creator, that we're all together, and all these divisions between us and the shatterings that we feel, it all just seems that way to us in our shattered vessels. To the extent that we correct ourselves, we can discover ourselves closer and closer to one another. And there's no difference between us, there's no distance between us, and all of the feelings and calculations and qualities and whatever happens, it'll all connect as one man with one heart.
Is this called falling in love?
That is called falling in love. Falling in love truly is that there's no difference between the two, but they're working as one man with one heart.
So it means that we clean up all the stigmas we have about what it means to fall in love, that a person has this emotion. It sounds something very methodical.
Let it be that way. The main thing is to come closer.
Okay, my last question is, what is eternal love?
Eternal love, I can tell you, because this limit that we call it eternal, I have never felt it. And we have to reach it. We have to reach it.
Woman Europe, Madame.
Good morning. Morning. This is my favorite subject, the subject of love. It's for us to really walk in the 10, is this the real goal, to reach unconditional love? And how do we practicalize it so that we understand that all the flaws that we have to overcome is really the gift to reach unconditional love?
I think it's something very unique and worthy to disseminate broadly, that in the end we all need to acquire the quality of love in a way that it will open us and bring us closer together in a whole way. And specifically today, that is a day of love, we need to understand and also make a calculation. So what really is a day of love? The light of love, the feeling of love, as much as we need to be dependent, connected towards one another, and that there's no distance between us, but a very deep understanding from the heart, from heart to heart, that all of the barriers between us can be annulled, and the Creator will help us in that, according to our demands, and we'll reach a state that will truly be as one man with one heart. It's difficult to imagine it. We're completely opposite of it. But along with that, We're close to it. We are close to it.
No, Moscow 6.
Раф, а как по-настоящему мы можем определить, что между нашими
желаниями нет разницы?
אני לא חושב שאנחנו צריכים להגיע למצב.
I don't think we have to reach a state where between our desires there won't be any differences, because there still will be. Each one has a different root.
And
just as no one is similar to the other, also one love isn't like the other's love, it just completes. And in this way, we need to incorporate. But in this incorporation, we will exactly reach that connection, that wonderful connection that we attain. And each one right away will feel that this is the connection that has to be between everybody to everybody. That we don't feel the externality according to color or all kinds of other conditions, but that we only feel how good it is for us, for each and every one of us, to relate to the other one with unconditional love. It's not that I feel the other. I feel myself that I'm opening my heart with no limitations towards the others. That is actually the correct attitude.
Can it be that love is like avut, mutual responsibility? If there are two friends, for example, in the tent, who don't love each other, so I too will not be able to love someone else in the tent, so we're all dependent on each other in the tent, where everyone must make efforts in love?
That's correct. If one person brings in his lack of agreement, his poison, his dirt into the general vessel, so everybody starts feeling it and it disturbs everybody. Love has to be without any calculation, above all calculations. I think that we feel it and that we are on the way towards it.
Kiev 1.
Yes, dear Rav, you said I check myself through this love in what state I am in toward the Creator. What's the right way to check it?
We can't measure ourselves or check ourselves compared to the Creator, but we do it through the others, from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator. That's what's written, and only in that way, by me knowing and feeling all of His creations, by this I come closer to Him and love Him. First, there has to be the love of the others, the love of the created beings. And as much as I thank Him for them, for bringing them closer to me, and teaching me how to love them, the created beings, in this way, I come closer to the Creator. That there can't be love of the Creator without the love of the created beings, but only after them as a result.
Hello,
other people. We don't have these conditions for love. So when we come to love the friends, what do I love them for? What is the reason? I don't have these ideal conditions.
And what would you want to have?
I'd like it to be easier for me to love, so my heart would open more quickly. So if I see someone so good, who does only good to me and to the whole world, it would be easy for me to love
them. So what would be so heavy, the weight of love, if it would be so easy?
Well, I don't know, that's what I understand from the excerpt, that he sees that he is good to him and he's good to all the people, and even if they do something bad, they don't want to remember it. But in the work in the tent, we don't have these conditions. So for what am I supposed to love the friends? Real love, not just pray to connect, for connection, but to really love them.
To truly love them, you can, under the condition that you see that without them, you won't reach the degree of love of the Creator.
So, this is not connected to love. To love. It's like I want to get something through them.
It doesn't matter. It's love.
But what would open the door?
We always work from each one's will to receive. Madam, what are you living in the clouds?
No, so fine, so I'll be nice, I'll do things, I'll pray, I'll have my own interest, I'll do what I'm told I have to do, hoping to get it. But where's my heart? Say, with my child, I'll give him the whole world in a second. But how do you even get close to something like that?
That's also called love of the Creator, that you perform the love of the Creator, that He lets you love the child.
So what should I put into my heart or mind in order to start getting closer to such things, toward people who are strangers to me?
That you are all parts of one vessel, and everyone belong to one Creator and one destiny, and that you don't have any way to run away from this role that you have got. And only to implement it. Only to implement. Again?
How do we come to absolute love toward the ten?
Only by understanding that without the love of the created beings, I will not reach the love of the Creator. And that's why I have no choice. I must reach the love of the created beings. That's the work. That is the work to pray, to do all kinds of actions until we understand that we can't, and then we outburst and demand from the Creator to give it to us. To give it to us, otherwise, I'd rather be dead than alive. And let's hope that one of the two can work out. Either death.
Thank you very much.
Meaning, we connect in love towards the Creator, and there we find one another and our mutual connection.